Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
This is Seth Gilliam.
Hey, this is Holland Roden.
My name is Kiahu Kuhuanui.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hey, it's Ronnie Adams.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Ha-ha!
This is Jeff Davis, and you're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and always. This sick, strange darkness comes creeping on, so haunting every time. And as I stared, I counted the webs from all the spiders, catching things and eating their insides, like indecision to call you. And hear your voice of treason. Will you come home and stop this pain tonight? Stop this pain tonight.
Hi everyone, welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, episode 84. Karen and I, this is Natalie, in case you're tuning in for the first time, I'm joined by Karen. Hi Karen.
Hi.
Hi. We're here tonight starting on our full steam ahead hiatus project episodes, which will take us through to whenever Teen Wolf returns to us. You know, we had our little, time at Howlicon and all of that. Now we're going to be doing episodes about, you know, anything we can think of really to do with the fandom, the cast, mythology, characters, interviews, all sorts of things. But the first one that we've got for you tonight is basically an episode talking about the upcoming projects of all of the main cast or everyone who's got something big. Because, you know, you will have heard things here or there about what's going on, but we just decided to round everything up and talk about what's interesting to us from what's coming up and just the information for anyone who might want, you know, it all in one place or something like that. So this should be fun. There's some various, weird and wonderful things that the cast is doing. some of it's really weird. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty accurate.
So that should be good and we'll get into it. And we've done, a bit of research about everything. Brooke has done a lot of research about everything. And then we've followed up, the research ourselves as well, but Brooke has compiled so much news about the upcoming projects, so that's pretty cool. If you want to reach us at any point, to talk about this episode or an idea for a future hiatus episode or just, feedback, thoughts, etc., you can reach us on our Twitter, which is NATWpodcast, our email, which is NATWpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Tumblr at the handle notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, which if you go to is a redirect to our beautiful website, notanotherteenwolfpodcast.com. You can also reach us on Instagram, again, NATWpodcast, but, that's more for photos and general fun, probably not, the place for constructive criticism, old Instagram. We just basically compiled the projects from the main cast, or the current cast at least. Not everyone has projects that we found to talk about, but all of the biggest things from the cast. And then we've got a few interesting things from some of our favourite former cast members as well. So we'll get into it. We'll take turns, telling you about the cast members. I'm going to go first with Tyler Posey, if that's okay. Tyler Posey, our Teen Wolf star, obviously, his biggest upcoming project, which is filming or filmed, is a movie called Yoga Hoses, which, we promised you weird and wonderful, and here we go. Let's just get right into it. The movie is called Yoga Hoses. Look, it's a Kevin Smith movie, which kind of explains more than it doesn't in terms of weirdness, if you're familiar with the work of Kevin Smith, which I very much am. He is obviously, comedy director, podcast, fandom, nerd culture, legend. And yeah, this movie is actually a spin-off of his last film, Tusk, which was a comedy, drama, horror movie based on a story that he heard on Craigslist. It's really really strange. Like, this, the movies that this man makes are very odd, and I was a very big fan of his whole, like, view askew verse, which was his, the Jay and Silent Bob movies people might know about, Clerks, Dogma, you know, all of those movies, which are all set in the same universe. That universe is sort of finished now, and he's started another one, which he's calling the True North series, featuring the same sort of group of people based on all these weird Canadian stories. Like, he's from Canada and is very sort of passionate about that. And so he's making these movies based on these Canadian, you know, I don't know if it's folklore or urban legends or something like this. The original one, Tusk, it says it was based on a story that he saw on Gumtree or Craigslist or something. And he and his partner, who he podcasts with, they basically got social media to decide whether they made this film or not. And they ended up deciding to do it. So it's all very, you know, internet culture and cool. The movie that Tyler's going to be in, it's a spin-off of that movie. It is following the story of two minor characters from that movie, and it's going to have the original characters in it somewhere as well. But the two minor characters who are going to be the leads of Yoga Hosers, very interesting, because it's two teenage yoga enthusiasts team up with a legendary manhunter to battle with an ancient evil presence that is threatening their major party plans. Now, this is interesting. I mean, very, very sort of, you know, ridiculous slash ass-kicking kind of concept. The two young girls who are going to be in the film as the teenage yoga enthusiasts are actually Lily Rose Depp, who's the daughter of Johnny Depp, and then Harley Quinn Smith, who's Kevin Smith's own daughter, they're both teenagers, and they are the two girls who are going to be the leads. And Tyler is playing a classmate and, you know, school friend of the girls. So he's going to be in the movie with them. And he's tweeted, or I think one of the girls tweeted, like, a picture of them filming together on set with Tyler and all of that kind of thing. Obviously, Johnny Depp is in the movie as well as the manhunter who the girls team up with. So, you know, for him to be in a movie with Johnny Depp is a pretty big deal. And
I would say so. Does he have a big role, or is it? Do we know what
Tyler?
Size role he has?
I don't know. I don't know about the size role. He's definitely, like, in the casting, like, you know, in articles, like, you know, on, like, you know, Hollywood Reporter and stuff. He's, like, listed as, you know, part of the ensemble cast. Like, it's not like, okay, a cameo or something like that. So I from what it looks like, he's one of the school people who, you know, is friends with the girls, you know, who whatever they're trying to do, their party or something like that, you know, part of their circle, or, you know, a guy that one of them likes or something like that. Not too much is known yet. I don't know if he'll be on the road, you know, fighting ancient evil presences with Johnny Depp and the girls, but, you know, we can only hope, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because this is the second movie of Kevin Smith's True North series. And as I said, you know, it's a universe that he's creating where, you know, characters can come back. So if he makes another one set in this world, you know, there's the potential that, you know, and if Tyler's character, you know, interests him, you know, after the outcome of the film, if he sort of watches the movie back and he's like, you know what, I want a movie about that guy or something like that, you know, the characters from his universes, like when he writes a world that has all of these different characters in it, he puts them back in movies. So it's and he uses the same, you know, casting quite often. So it could actually, you know, result in another film with Kevin Smith for Tyler if he, you know, so wanted that or something like that. And it's a pretty immense cast, even aside from Johnny Depp, obviously. The original movie, Tusk, had Michael Parks, Justin Long, and Haley Joel Osment in it, as well as Johnny Depp and the girls, Harley and Lily, were also in there in the background. And so their story is getting told. Interestingly, the original, this guy's going to come up a couple of times on this podcast, the original movie Tusk, which Tyler's not in, but so we won't focus on too much, but very, you know, the Yoga Hosers is a spin-off of that. The main character, played by Michael Parks, the, like, creepy old man in it, the young version of him was played by Matthew Sheevely, who's a Teen Wolf alum as Oliver in Icon House, who is going to be also coming up in one of the projects that we're going to talk about for one of the other cast members later on. So just to tie that back for you in a nice little bow, there's the Kevin Smith world of yoga hoses with Tyler Posey. So now that I've taught you something about Kevin Smith and his strange Canadian tales, are you looking forward to this movie, Karen?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if this is a bad thing to say, you know, publicly, but I don't really know anything about Kevin Smith. Like, I definitely recognize him. I've heard of Jay and Silent Bob. I've never seen it. Never seen any of his movies, I don't think. Would you say that, like, you have to watch previous movies to be able to watch, you know, something like this? Or because it's a spinoff, you can kind of just jump right in?
No, I would say he's made a lot of films, Kevin Smith. He's made a lot of different films before that are nothing to do with this. Basically, this is, I would probably recommend watching Tusk before this one, like the other one in this universe, but I don't think it's necessary. His entire other universe, which is sort of known as the View Askew universe, because that was the production company, is... I love the way that those movies tie into each other, so I think that's worth watching altogether. If you're going to watch any single movie on its own of Kevin Smith's, I would recommend Dogma. I think Dogma is absolutely fantastic. It is clever. It says so much to me. It's the best movie about religion I've ever seen. Kevin Smith is actually he's not an atheist, basically. He's some sort of Catholic. But his take on religion in Dogma is the best movie, like, about religion that I've ever seen. You will, like, I defy anyone to not love it. It's such a good movie. And he's written a really, really creepy movie called Red State, which is, like, a horror movie about, like, the kind of based on the Westboro Baptist Church. The Tusk itself was, like, a horror aspect as well. So I don't know. They're all very different, like very comedy. The only reason I would sort of say watch other Kevin Smith movies is so that you kind of get how he does humor in order to like watch Yoga Hoses and find it funny, I suppose. Like, I don't know how it's going to stand alone. We haven't seen it yet, obviously. So that being said, you know, action adventure film with, you know, two teenage girls as the lead ass kickers is kind of cool. Like, I believe he said something like, you know, people have always asked why Kevin Smith hasn't directed a comic book film, like why he hasn't been one of the people to do a big, you know, superhero film or something like that, because he's very much part of that world. And he has said that this movie, Yoga Hoses, is his version of that. So basically the two girls are going to be like comic book superhero style thing. So that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
that I can get behind that, I think.
Yeah, so this is his, apparently, you know, entrance into the comic book genre, even though it's not actually based on a comic book. Should be interesting. And, you know, Tyler Posey, I think he's the kind of guy who probably is a big fan of Kevin Smith. Like, you know, he's got that kind of humor, and I think that would be a pretty big deal for him to be in that movie. Just, you know, it would be interesting to see maybe Dylan in a Kevin Smith movie one day as well, because that was right from back, I think, Teen Wolf's first season or something like that. Kevin Smith on his podcast was one of the first massive advocators of Dylan O'Brien as an actor, you know, saying this, he sort of turned on one episode of Teen Wolf that his daughter was watching and was like, that kid is like the most naturally talented person I've ever seen in my life, just from like watching behind, you know, my TV in my house, if you know what I mean. Like, he's a really, you know, really big name, and he sort of saw Dylan on Teen Wolf and became obsessed with him. And I think Dylan has been on his podcast as well, on the Smodcast.
Oh, cool.
They call it. So that's something you can go and listen out for if anyone is interested in that. Tyler also had a couple of other little things that's currently going on. He was the guest host DJ on Ellen, which is kind of cool and funny. Ellen, her show often, you know, has a celebrity or random person who is the guest DJ, and like, you know, they're not like a guest getting interviewed. They're sort of just there in the background doing the DJing. It's weird, but Ellen's really high profile. You have to be kind of a legit celebrity to be on Ellen, so it's kind of cool that he was on Ellen. He did the AOL My Hero series, which focused on his mother that he picked as his hero, which you can watch online, I believe. And then the other thing that he's been doing, which you may have noticed on his social media, is been very, very active on YouTube, posting a lot of cover songs, you know, from something that sort of started as a weird kind of like Instagram video or Vine or something like that, you know, like little clips that he's calling music for your ears to bleed to, into something where he's posting pretty regularly with proper title cards and, you know, all of that kind of thing, just recording various songs that he wants to share, basically from anything from the Beatles through to, you know, the kind of skate punk that he likes, like Bayside and Motion City Soundtrack and that kind of thing. And apparently he's going to start posting original songs as well, which is nice. His music is certainly, or his singing voice, he certainly fits into that style of music that I know he's very passionate about, which is the kind of like Warped Tour, like pop punk kind of thing. And it's all very, you know, amateur and cute. He did have a band before Lost in Costco, which I don't think he's still participating in himself. But the YouTube channel that he's posting on is from that band. So you can go and watch that as well. So he's been sort of doing a bit of that, basically, which is fun, keeping busy, I suppose, while his hair grows back and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that he's doing music. I like it when you find out that actors can also sing or play instruments, or, you know, vice versa, that like there's somebody you really like their music and they end up going into acting. It's just like a cool other side that you can see of them. And I mean, Posey loves Blink-182 so much, and you can really hear that in his original music. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that kind of thing is, you know, it's, as I was saying to Karen earlier today, it's kind of like, you know, people will listen to Tyler Posey singing and they won't necessarily be like, oh my God, this guy is as good as Sam Smith. He's going to be nominated for 14 Grammys. He's got the most beautiful voice in the world. He doesn't have the most beautiful voice in the world, but he's very interested in a style of music where the way that you sound doesn't really matter that much. Like it's a culture where everyone gets to have a go, basically, and you can go and make a band even if you're kind of not very good, or you can have a, like, you know, like, you know, like Tom DeLonge. Like Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 objectively has a very bad voice. You don't want to like listen to someone sing like that, like on a Broadway stage, but like for that kind of music, it's to do with, you know, being able to kind of basically have a go and express yourself and not, and that kind of like kind of screamy kind of, you know, pop punk. It's cool. And Tyler has always been a really big part of that scene, basically. So it's quite sweet. Karen, your bit that you're going to be talking about next is similar to what you were just saying about the music aspect with that one. So did you want to go ahead?
Yeah, this is Arden Cho's current project, and we found out quite a while ago that she can sing, and can sing quite well, actually. She's got a bunch of videos on YouTube, and she kind of started on YouTube before she got into Teen Wolf and some of her other projects, and she's got a beautiful voice, and I really like the covers that she's chosen, and she's done original songs as well. She has an album out, so go check that out if you're interested. But what she's working on right now is a movie called Stuck. And the premise for this is that, first of all, it's a musical, which is pretty cool. And the little bio for it says, chance and happenstance collide, and strangers who would probably never notice or speak to each other get stuck together on a locked subway car beneath New York City. All of them have a story that reaches far beyond what is apparent on the surface. And first of all, that kind of sounds terrifying, being stuck
You're
on
like,
a subway
car. Is this a horror movie?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's a musical. Mm-hmm. But it sounds pretty cool. I like those kind of movies where, you know, at first you have this group of people and they're like, you know, I would never talk to you in my entire life. And they sort of get stuck together and they find out they have a lot more in common. Hey, I just got flashbacks to Avatar The Last Airbender in our most recent episode of Rewatchable.
Oh, dear. Yeah. You know, Arden Cho and a bunch of people trapped in a green glowing cave together.
Yes. And it's currently filming, or no, it was filming in July. It hasn't come out yet. I think filming might be over. And it was in New York City that they were filming. And she's posted a bunch of things on Instagram. And she's playing a character named Alicia, and Alicia is a ballerina. And so she's posted a few pictures of her in her outfit and, you know, kind of going through the motions of practicing as a ballerina, I guess. And it looks pretty cool. She's going to be singing her own songs. I mean, she has the voice for it, so we can expect to actually hear her singing in the movie, which is always exciting. And yeah, it also stars Giancarlo Esposito, who is going to be in another movie, The Scorch Trials, with Dylan, coming up here. And I really like him as an actor. I think he's really talented, and I'm curious to see what role he's going to play, because obviously, like, he's a bit older than I think the main cast is meant to be, so I don't know if he's going to be stuck in the car with them or if he's going to be, like, somebody's teacher, if he's going to have a big role or not, but he's always really fun to watch on screen. And Ashanti is also going to be in it, which is a name that I haven't heard in
time. 15 years or yeah. something. Good for Ashanti. Yeah. Good for her.
I mean, and, you know, she's super talented, too, and she's beautiful, and I don't know if I've ever seen her act in anything else, but... she has been in a bunch of movies, and yeah, I'd be curious to see what she brings to it as well.
Yeah, that sounds like, it does sound interesting. It sounds like the kind of thing I'd probably like to see. I would be quite excited for, I like anything that's a musical, basically. I like anything that's like filmed on location in New York. It sounds like, you know, from the, and the pictures that Arden has posted that, you know, they'll be in the car, but then there'll be, like, flashbacks to various parts of their life and stuff like that, you know. So that's, you know, I sort of never get sick of watching that kind of thing. So hopefully it's good and we'll, you know, enjoy that one and see it when it comes out. I don't know if that will have, like, a wide release, what kind of release that will have, but I'm excited for that one, I think.
Yeah, sounds like it could be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. The next one that we're going to look at is Tyler Hoechlin, and he is, stop laughing.
I can't help it. It's the mustache, man. It's the mustache.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry about the mustache, but yeah, okay. We're going to have to get past it. So Tyler Hoechlin has been in two baseball movies because he really likes baseball. So I suppose, no, look, that's not fair. Like, it's probably like, you know, when someone has a skill, like it would sort of weigh in their favor for casting. So like if they're like, you know, if someone is like a good horse rider or, you know, horseback rider or, you know, something like that, and they're, you know, up against someone who's not a good horseback rider for a film with a lot of horseback riding, you know, they might get it. Anyway, Tyler Hoechlin's been in two baseball movies that haven't come out yet, so that's going to be good. The first one, the one that's probably going to be a bigger deal, is the one that was filming this year, and yes, it's the one that he had the stupid mustache for. It's an 80s movie. It's called That's What I'm Talking About, and basically it's a movie about an incoming freshman experiencing his first weekend in college as a pitcher on the school's nationally ranked baseball team. He finds himself amongst a hard-partying group of baseball players. The setting is 1980, and the guy steps into the freedom and responsibility of unsupervised adulthood. And Tyler Hoechlin is one of the teammates. He's not the freshman. He's one of the guys on the team. Apparently in the 1980s, it was cool if you were in college to have a gigantic mustache. Like, young dudes had mustaches and it was horrible. So that was a thing. And that's why he had that face and everything going on. But this movie is actually quite a big deal. It does sound a little bit like Wolf of Wall Street-ish or something, like, oh, we're all just going to, is it going to be like a whole party weekend kind of thing? However, few things that I'm really interested in. The young guy, the freshman, the main character, is played by Blake Jenner, who you may or may not know was star of the second season of The Glee Project, and then came onto Glee as a character. He played Ryder for a couple of seasons. I don't think he's coming back for season 6. Just a little bit of background on Blake Jenner in case anyone cares. He was not like a random who auditioned for the Glee Project. They did actually put some people in that were cast. They were, you know, they were people who were already aspiring actors on the books of the casting agent, and they were offered the opportunity to be participants. And they were kind of very above board. That wasn't like a thing they hid or anything like that. There was some people who were open auditions, some people who were hopefuls who were already part of the casting agency. So he was an aspiring actor anyway. He came into Glee, I think he won Glee Project. He came into Glee as Ryder. He was so good. Like, he as an actor was, I'm still angry about how much they basically screwed that guy over as an actor, in terms of they gave him like barely anything, but everything he had was very, very good. Like, he was a very, 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 very solid actor, very good emotional actor, very subtle, just made everything like, you know, and it was also, it was always amazing as well, because his character would sit in the background and like shake his head hatefully at everything Mr. Schuster said, and was just like, what is wrong with you people? And because everything is wrong with Mr. Schuster and a lot of things that happen on Glee, I loved that this kid like hated life, like his character. Anyway, he had terrible plots and all of that kind of thing, but he was a really, really good actor and really underused. So it's quite impressive that he's going to be the lead in this movie, especially because it's actually by a really big director. It's directed by Richard Linklater, which I may have pronounced wrong, but I know who I'm talking about, but I don't think I've ever had the need to say his name out loud. I don't know if it's Linklater, Linkletter, etc. But he is a pretty massive director, recently making waves with Boyhood, which was a huge basically release this year, where he'd been filming it for like 15 years, like same cast, small parts of a, you know, of a story for 15 years with a kid really growing up, like the same, you know, character from childhood to adulthood, which was a pretty massive project. He also did the Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight trilogy with Ethan Hawke. That was a really big kind of romantic indie, I don't know how to describe it, like emotional drama films. He directed School of Rock, so that's a little bit of a departure as well. Awesome comedy movie with Jack Black. He directed Waking Life, which is an insane animated film that's just like this philosophical, existential animated film that like I watched when I was 15 and I thought I was like the coolest person in the world for liking this movie. Like, you don't understand. Like, it was... So it's the only animated film that's ever been released by Fox Searchlight. So it's really unusual. It's very, 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 very strange film, basically completely weird film. And then Dazed and Confused, which is apparently the film that we're talking about, the baseball film. That's what I'm talking about. What?
That was really confusing.
Sorry. Is allegedly closer to this, you know, a coming of age film like Dazed and Confused, which was a 90s coming of age film about, you know, stoners and college. Last day of, I think, a group of kids, last day of school in the summer of the 1970s or something like that, which I have seen like years and years ago. You know, lots of music, lots of like, you know, everyone going out to a massive party and that kind of thing, you know, jocks, nerds, etc. Like, it's all a bit of a crazy teen movie, like a crazy rough teen movie. This is allegedly closer to that than Boyhood. Boyhood is a very, like, Boyhood's probably going to win an Oscar. Don't know if that's what I'm talking about is going to be winning an Oscar, but it is a very respected and unusual director, so it's quite a big deal, this project. This will definitely get a wide release. It will definitely get known, like it will definitely get seen at least in independent theaters, if not in blockbuster theaters. That was filmed this year in September and finished in November, so about 2 months worth of filming in Texas. And you know, we saw a lot of mustached pictures of Tyler Hoechlin during that period, and I think we were all very relieved when we found out that it was, you know, a movie and not a personal choice. So yeah, some of the other stars of the movie I haven't really heard of. Wyatt Russell I sort of know, but yeah, the other people are mainly people who are at least unknown to me. Ryan Guzman, Zoe Deutsch, Glenn Powell, and then as I said, Blake Jenner as the lead, and then Tyler Hoechlin presumably as one of the baseball men. Now, the other baseball movie that he was doing is something that he filmed last year or even the year before, which still hasn't come out yet, though I am interested in this one as well. It's called Undrafted. Definitely not as high profile as That's What I'm Talking About, but, you know, I am hoping that this one comes out. Undrafted is based on a true story and centers on a very special day in the life of a promising young baseball player named John Maz Mazzetti. After he discovers that he was not drafted, Maz has an has an epiphany one day that changes his life forever. He finds himself playing in a casual intramural summer league baseball game with a group of wacky teammates who feel strongly that Maz has the makings of a great ball player. Throughout the day, Maz becomes increasingly sullen and negative, especially when he fails to get a hit. Suddenly, Maz has a revelation and he finds his purpose. It's the final inning and Maz is back in the game. Now, this sounds a little bit overdramatic. I'm kind of getting how this could be good. I feel like they might not have pitched it in the right way. It was filmed last year in September. That was such an accident. That's not the best synopsis. I get what they're going for. It's not the best synopsis I've ever heard in my life. The idea of it all, again, taking place through one day, presumably to, like, flashbacks in the rest of, you know, what had led up to it. Not much is known about the progress of this movie. In March this year, I think we traced it. Hecklin said, I did do a fun little independent baseball movie that will hopefully be getting cut together here shortly. And I think the goal is to get it to a festival that's fit for the film and see where it goes from there. And this actually has some really big names in it, obviously, besides from Tyler Hecklin. It's got Chase Crawford off of Gossip Girl. And it's got Aaron Tveit, who is off of The Strings of My Heart. Aaron Tveit, he's a Broadway actor. He was in the Les Mis movie, but he's also been in like a bunch of like television stuff, like thriller. Like, he played an FBI trainee in a cop show called Graceland. So he's quite versatile, it looks like. I'm very excited to see, you know, him and Tyler Hecklin in a baseball movie together. But I don't know if this movie will ever get much of a wide release. You might be able to track it down on the internet, you know, if it sounds like that it is getting, you know, getting made, and then who knows what will happen to it, you know, if it's not actually even finished yet. That kind of thing does happen with movies, like indie movies. They get, you know, they get filmed, you know, presumably the people get paid for doing it, you know, and then it just never comes out. Like, the movie just... it just never comes out. And that's kind of sad, I guess. Like, you know, but we do hope to see this one, basically. So my question for you, Karen, is which of the two baseball movies would you prefer to see, you know, given based on the plot of what we know about Undrafted and That's What I'm Talking About? Which one would you prefer to see?
Just based on plot, I think I'd have to go with Undrafted, just because I like that he's surrounded by this group of wacky teammates who feel like he could be this great guy, and then so he tries one last time. Look, I get, like, really weirdly emotional about sports movies.
I was saying this today. Karen, yes. I said the same thing today to someone on Twitter. I don't like watching real sports.
Mm-mm.
I freaking love sports team movies.
Yes. Yes.
I love sports team movies, hate watching actual sports games.
Yes.
It's so weird.
Exactly.
It's so weird. But yeah.
I would like to think that I don't cry a lot, although recently I feel like everything's making me super emotional, but I cry the most during sports movies. Like, they get me every single time. So I'm actually really excited about both of these. I think it's really funny that Richard Linklater, the only movie I know from this, like, big shot director, School of Rock, which I liked.
School of Rock is amazing. I'm not...
it was really, like, good.
It's a very good quality movie for what it is. It is unbelievably funny. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I love Jack Black. But also, yeah, I wanted to point out that I know who Zoe Deutsch is. She played Rose, the lead in the Vampire Academy movie, which I actually liked. Not a whole lot of people liked it, but... yeah, I know. Big surprise there. But the thing is, regardless of how you felt about the movie in general, she killed that role. No pun intended. She did such a good job getting the personality of Rose from the book and portraying that on screen. She was amazing. So I don't know if she'll have a big role or not, but that would be another reason why I'd want to watch That's What I'm Talking About.
Mm. No, fair enough. I'd watch both of them. And yeah, I sports movies, man. It's so weird. Like, it's so weird. Oh, like, Remember the Titans. Cool Runnings. Yeah. Have you seen Cool Runnings? Because I freaking sobbed as a child in Cool Runnings.
No, I haven't.
It's a true story about these bobsled team from Jamaica who go to the Winter Olympics and compete. And it's a true story about this, like, insane group of guys, basically. And it's I cried so much. It's, like, probably the first movie I ever cried in as a child. Like, it was Cool Running. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Remember the Titans is a big one for me.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks, yes, Mighty Ducks I just revisited recently. yeah, I mean, even the Disney movies that were about sports, they always got me.
I'm assuming you mean, like, Disney Channel movies, not, like, animated Disney movies. I don't know.
No. There was one, I don't remember the titles of, like, any of these, but there was one with these two twins who were basketball players, and they, like, didn't make the basketball team, so they ended up going and playing volleyball, and they didn't really care about it. Or maybe it was the other way around. They played volleyball. Something like that. And but then they decided, like,
they grew to love it, and, like,
it would kill you.
It's so weird, Karen. But yeah, okay. Moving on from sports movies. Please feel free to tell us any sports movies that might make me and Karen cry. You know, that would be great. We'd really like that. So yeah. Do you wanna go on with the next one, moving away from sports movies?
Yes, this is probably one of the biggest ones on our list. Of course, this is Dylan's next movie, The Maze Runner Chapter 2, The Scorch Trials, which is the longest movie title ever.
Are they really calling it The Maze Runner Chapter 2, : The Scorch Trials?
Yes, and I think they have to do that because...
No one's going to know what The Scorch Trials is.
Right, exactly. It links it back to The Maze Runner. So, like, I get it, but... Just call it Scorch Trials. But filming started on October 27th, and it's set to wrap sometime in mid-January, which should be good for Teen Wolf, obviously. I think they're really trying hard to make sure that Dylan's schedule meets up with all of his responsibilities. It's being filmed in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, which is different from where it was filmed before. It was filmed in Baton Rouge before, so they did move a little bit. And I have to say right up front that I have not read The Scorch Trials yet. I'm like 3 chapters into it right now, so I really don't know anything about the premise. But considering how much I loved The Maze Runner to begin with, I'm really excited about this. And, you know, seeing Dylan on the big screen again is always exciting. Brooke is the one covering this on Hypeable, and she seems to be pretty into it. And, you know, they have cast a lot of fairly big names for this movie, which makes me even more excited. I talked about Giancarlo Esposito before. He was in Breaking Bad, Revolution. I know him from Once Upon a Time. And Revolution, actually. He's going to be playing Jorge. I don't know who any of these characters are, but, you know. And then there's Aidan Gillen, who's from Game of Thrones. He plays Littlefinger, and I'm really, like, apprehensive to see him because he's one of those actors that I associate so much with this character that I kind of really dislike him. And he's probably a wonderful dude, but... Yeah. I, like, see Littlefinger whenever I see him.
I don't know if I hate anyone more than Littlefinger on Game of Thrones. Like, literally no one. He's so awful.
Wait, what about Joffrey?
Joffrey's dead.
Well, yeah, but did you hate Joffrey more than you hated Littlefinger?
Probably, yeah. And they made him even worse in the show than he is in the books.
Oh, boy.
Like, he's very bad in the books, but in the show they made... Because they aged him up a little bit. They aged all of the kids up, because Joffrey was, in the books, maybe only meant to be about 13 or 14 when he died, whereas he was about 16, 17 in the show, and so he was kind of a little bit more, like, sexually gross. I'll put that out there. So a little bit more grossness in that department in the show, which made it even worse. But yes, no one is worse than Joffrey, but Littlefinger is awful. Like,
Can agree with that, definitely. Yeah. And then we have Natalie Emmanuel, who's also from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. She played
Missandei.
All right. Which is, what's her name?
Daenerys's... translator.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of cool. She's going to be playing Harriet. Mm-hmm. And then we have somebody I've never heard of, Jacob Laughlin, mm-hmm. who was in Mud opposite Matthew McConaughey, which is pretty awesome. He's going to be playing Eris. And then Rosa Salazar, who is going to be playing Lynn in the Divergent sequel, Insurgent. She's also in Parenthood and American Horror Story. She's going to be Brenda. And I've read a lot about people being most excited, I think, for Brenda. I think Brenda's going to be a big character in the second book. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she's like a good guy or bad guy, or if she's sort of like in the gray area. But I think people are really looking forward to Rosa Salazar's portrayal, because I think she has like a big personality, just sort of what I've been reading around the internet.
Cool. It sounds like I'm just going to obviously clarify something quickly, because I do not know where I got this impression from. I was originally under the impression that this book, The Scorch Trials, was a prequel to The Maze Runner, and that they had to change it in order to keep Dylan O'Brien in it, but it's not. The prequel is another book. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I'm not delusional. Yeah.
You have three books in the main series. He already wrote a prequel, and then he's writing another prequel story as well. So it's sort of ongoing, I guess, although I think like the main part of the story finishes in three books.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And I mean, the film did very well, like, you know, sort of surprisingly well to me. No, I don't mean that in a bad way, but
no, I agree, because I don't think that, I mean, there's a lot of YA dystopian movies coming out right now, and this doesn't have the pull that, like, say, Divergent and the Hunger Games
does. The books aren't that known. Like, the thing is, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it had, I mean, it had a freaking gigantic marketing campaign. Like, when I went to London a few months ago, like, Dylan O'Brien was on every bus, and it was weird. Like, it was really weird.
It's really weird to see him everywhere like that, yeah.
But I think, yeah, because the book series itself, like, wasn't a runaway hit before the films. Like, the Hunger Games books blew up as books mm-hmm. before the films came out. These books haven't, basically, or didn't. And so the Maze Runner adaptation as a film, you know, I thought it was going to be sort of one of those, like, you know, I don't know, I thought it might go down the drain a little bit. Like, I thought it might just, you know, not capture people's attention, but I don't know if it was the marketing or, you know, or how they got people in the door, basically. But it did very well, like, money-wise. Like, it made, like, a lot of money, and it had a really big opening, you know, and it basically did really very, very, very well. You know, it didn't have any major celebrities in it. Like, you know, it didn't have, you know, a Jennifer Lawrence or, you know, Shailene Woodley, who's been in, like, a bunch of Oscar-nominated stuff. Like, it's Dylan was the biggest name in it. Dylan, and he's not big, like, not objectively. So it is really surprising to me that it did, like, so well,
yeah,
basically.
I think there are a lot of factors for why it did so well. I think, for one, the budget wasn't that big, so it was able to make quite a bit of profit.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, their marketing campaign was really fantastic. I mean, the books do have quite a big following. I wouldn't say it's anywhere near, you know, the Hunger Games or anything like that, but he's got a bunch of fans, and they're pretty loyal. And I think it's just social media and, you know, it's always really exciting when the author is really into the movie adaptation. And I think just seeing things come out, and of course, Dylan has his own fan base. Mm. Everything sort of coming together made it so that it was not a huge deal, but I think it did. Yeah, you're right. Pretty well. I saw that it was like number one on iTunes the other day for like movies, released movies. So
it's done really well. And it just, I mean, I suppose the thing is, like, no matter how big, it's hard to kind of remember when you're not inside the internet like we are, but it's kind of hard to remember that, like, when people are, for example, I'll give you an example. This is a little bit of tangential. Two big Marvel movies came out this year, Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. To me, personally, not because I like it, but to me, from the way that I view the world, from what I've seen based on being kind of involved in fandom and on the internet, the Winter Soldier looks like the bigger movie. It looks like the one that's the most the more lasting, because it's got a fandom that's still really obsessed with it, like 7 to 8 months later. You know, lots of, you know, fan work being created, lots of really people being really intense of it. Whereas Guardians was actually the bigger mainstream success that got more people in the door, more money. But, you know, there are things about, but it doesn't have an active fandom. And so it's a little bit hard, you know, to process sometimes with something like this, for example. You know, you say that there is a, you know, there is a following of the books and the, you know, following the author and social media and that kind of thing. You know, that is, you know, obviously something that helps it spread, but it doesn't, like, the actual percentage on paper, like, it's hard when you're the kind of person that sort of lives inside the internet and lives inside those fandoms to remember that the percentage of those on paper of those people who are seeing the movie is pretty small. Like, the there are a lot of, you know, civilians who just chose to see this movie, which means that they did market it really well, that they had something mm-hmm. going for it, if you know what I mean, that it's not just like, oh, it's all of the people who are already loyal to it, or something like that. It's not just like, oh, Dylan O'Brien just has that many fans. It's a percentage, but the percentage is smaller than we think it is, basically, because we are inside the percentage, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that it's a lot of factors coming together, and it just mm-hmm. happened to be the right mix. And like we said, it wasn't a huge movie, but it was big enough that it got a sequel. And for a little while there, we were a little worried that it might not. Mm-hmm. That was before the movie actually came out, and then they did greenlight it, and it was. And I also think it comes down to, like, this was actually objectively a good movie in my opinion, because it had a lot of action, adventure, mystery, suspense. It was really well acted. The storyline was pretty smooth. They took out some things that from the book that wouldn't have worked on screen, and I think that was a really smart choice on the part of the director, Wes Ball. And yeah, I mean, I think it just happened to sort of be the right time for it. So,
well,
can't argue with that.
That's good. Good times. And then that will come out next year in something like September, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd really like to be invited to the premiere. So if you're listening to this, Wes Ball or James Dashner, we'd really like to be invited to the premiere, especially Brooke. We'd like to take Brooke and Karen to the premiere of The Scorch Trial.
Yes.
So we're officially starting that pitch now. I'm just letting you all know. But no, I'm only like half joking. I would really, really love for them to be able to go because Hyperbole does get invited to a lot of events like that. And if they wanted to, you know, offer that to Hyperbole, it would be really mean a lot to us, basically. So, yeah. Fun times.
Thank you.
Anyway, we'll you know, retweets on Twitter are good too. We'll go on to the next person on the list of the current cast, which is Shelley Henning. And she's got, like, a lot of things. So I'm just going to go through these. She has three films that are currently coming out or being worked on. One is called Ouija, which is a group of friends must confront their most terrifying fears when they awaken the dark powers of an ancient spirit board. It's a horror movie. She plays the dead girl. Like, she plays the girl whose spirit they are trying to contact, basically. So I don't know how much she is in it. I think it's relatively extensive because she probably comes back and, like, does some creepy stuff. it's already got a trailer. It's released, I think, on at least online. I don't know if it had a cinema release. Like, I'm not sure how big this was, but it is out.
I don't remember if it was... I think it was in, like, movie theaters, but it's everywhere. I've seen this trailer, like, 100 times, and never have I sought it out on purpose. Let me just tell you, it is on TV all the time.
Really?
I just saw it again today, actually. It's just so much.
Okay, well, it's out there, basically. So it's a horror movie about teens and a Ouija board. That's kind of what it is. There's, you know, it is available to watch, you know, the trailer and presumably the movie is available if you want it now. I'm just going to read through all of Shelley's movies and then we'll talk about the various merits of each. The other one is called Still Life, and this is, let me read the synopsis. Still Life is a poetic look at high school friendships and debauchery. The whole movie takes place on the beach. As the group of high school seniors spend their last day of summer together, relationships will blossom, the big questions will be explored, and a bit of madness will ensue. Still Life is a character-driven ensemble piece with lots of beautiful silences, gut-splitting laughter, and quiet contemplation. Think Dazed and Confused meets Tree of Life. With any luck, we will fall in love with these 8 smart, hilarious, vulnerable, beautiful kids as we share with them one unforgettable day. This is the project that I mentioned earlier that stars Matt Sheevely, Icon House alum Oliver, in the film with Shelley. Now, this sounds very sweet, etc. We've got Dazed and Confused again, much like the baseball movie, so I don't know, like, you know, this one is not directed by Richard Linklater, just saying. But this was filmed over the summer. Shelley is, you know, one of the eight characters. You know, it's, again, all one day, last day of school, etc. I don't know whether this is going to be good or not. It may be amazing. It may be, you know, just another run-in-the-mill, like, you know, it seems like everyone at some point wants to try and make, like, the next great teen movie, if you know what I mean. Like, the next Breakfast Club or Dazed and Confused is a really good example in the fact that it is actually, like a touchstone for people. It is a really big deal. There are lots and lots of teen movies out there about, you know, coming of age and, or, you know, oh, how everything changes in one day. Sometimes they're amazing, sometimes they're not. Like this, the pictures that have been posted makes it look really pretty. Lots of really nice Instagram filters, so I'm into that. But I would rather see this movie than the horror movie, I'm just going to say. And Karen is going to say the opposite.
Well, you know, I think it does sound like a good movie, but I have a problem with character-driven stuff. I mean, I really like action movies where things explode and people get beat up and stuff. So a character-driven movie where, like, nothing really happens, like, it just explores their character, tend to bore me. But I will say it does sound pretty good. Although I think the description, Dazed and Confused meets the Tree of Life, like, that's kind of a weird description, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would watch this movie. I would rather watch this movie than the Ouija board movie, but yeah. The final one is probably one that I'd rather watch, which is called Scout, and there's not much about this one. It's a rebellious goth girl embarks on a road trip across Texas with a suicidal young man in an effort to find her little sister. Now, road trip movie. This is what I'm about, son. This is the one for me. And I'm like, yeah. So we've got a goth chick. We've got, like, a suicidal young man. Some of the stars of it include a couple of older ladies who are really big names, Ellen Burstyn and Jane Seymour, who I don't know if, like, anyone who watches Teen Wolf knows who those people are, but they're famous actresses who are older ladies. I'm not sure what one of them will be, like, the grandmother, or, you know, Ellen Burstyn is in it. Nikki Reed, who was in Twilight, she's in it. She was quite good for Twilight, I suppose. Danny Glover is in it. He's a really big name.
I like Danny Glover.
Yeah, he's massive. I don't know whether Shelley is the girl, like the rebellious goth girl or not, or she seems to be the top billed girl on the list after Nikki Reed. So we've got Jane Seymour, who's not the rebellious goth girl because she's like mum age or more. Ellen Burstyn's grandma age or more. Nikki Reed is playing Georgie and Shelley Henning is playing Melinda. So I would guess that either Nikki Reed is the goth girl and Shelley is the little sister, or Shelley is the goth girl and I don't know who the sister is and what Nikki Reed's doing. I'm gonna take a stab at Shelley being the little sister. And then I don't know who Danny Glover's playing or, you know, who else we have here. But this, out of the three Shelley Henning movies, I'm saying this is the one that I want to see, basically. So
I think I would agree with that. I mean, Jane Seymour, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Yes,
come on.
Yeah, just in case anyone doesn't know Jane Seymour, yes, she was Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, which I kind of love, that show. I used to watch it during the day all the time.
Yeah, so did I.
but yeah, it is big names. But yeah, I love a road trip movie, so that'll be good. And this sounds like, you know, it should have a bit of, you know, ups and downs, so that should be exciting. Oh, Jane Seymour, aren't you nice?
Let me say, when she was in Wedding Crashers, her scene in Wedding Crashers, like, scarred me for life.
Oh my god. I've just clicked on her IMDb, and it looks like she's in a TV movie called A Royal Christmas, and she plays Isadora, the Queen of Cordenia, which is a made-up country. Let me tell you, I'm going to be going and downloading that movie the second we finish this podcast. That sounds like exactly the... I love terrible movies, especially movies about royal families. You don't understand how much I love this. Oh my god, this movie. Prince Leopold, heir to the throne of Cordelia, wishes to marry his young love Emily Taylor, a humble seamstress from Philadelphia, but Leopold's mother, Queen Isadora, has other plans for her son. And it's a Christmas movie. You don't understand how much I love these terrible movies. It's a lot.
Wow. I like terrible movies, but wow.
You like terrible action movies. I like terrible, like, love, not like romance, but like, yeah, especially like stuff like bad royal family movies. You don't know how much I love that kind of stuff. It's so stupid. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, you can check out Jane Seymour in Wedding Crashers, in Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, or in A Royal Christmas, which I will be doing. And Ellen Burstyn is a really big actor. She was actually in that Flowers in the Attic adaptation. She was a creepy grandma, but she's like been on Broadway, all sorts of things. What, you're remembering the Flowers in the Attic creepy grandma movie?
I just still scarred by that book. Still
sorry.
Scarred.
Yeah, she's, yeah, that's a pretty horrible character, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, she's a veteran actress, pretty amazing. And yeah, Political Animals is what I saw her in most recently, which is amazing if anyone needs something good to watch. 6-episode series about this woman who is going to be running for president after her husband used to be the president. Very loosely based on like Hillary and Bill Clinton. Such a good series. But she's in it. Sebastian Stan's in it. Sigourney Weaver's in it. Go watch Political Animals. Nothing to do with Teen Wolf, but just go watch it. Moving on from that, yeah, I'm going to vote Scout as my favourite of the Shelley and Henning projects. So, yeah. She's also filmed the video for Gentle on My Mind by the band Perry. And I only know the name the band Perry from the internet. I assume they're, like, kind of big at the moment, but I don't know things about new music unless it's One Direction. So, I don't know. Do you know anything about the band Perry?
Yes, and this is probably the one that I'm most excited about is this music video.
Oh, cool.
Because I really like the band Perry. The song If I Die Young is probably what they're best known for. It's a great song, really catchy, but really like sort of deep and meaningful at the same time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really love it. So really cool that she's going to be in their music video.
Oh, well, that's cool. I like that. I like when people are in music videos. That's good. And I'll go check out the song. Do you want to go into our next Teen Wolf star project, etc., Karen?
Yes, this is the last of the big ones, and this is Ryan Kelly's current project. It's called War Pigs. It's a movie, and the synopsis says, a ragtag unit of misfits known as the War Pigs must go behind enemy lines to exterminate Nazis by any means necessary. I love these kind of movies. I'm really interested in World War II, and I love action movies. I love war movies. And this sounds a lot like Inglourious Basterds, which I actually really enjoyed. I hated it the first time I watched it, loved it the second time I watched it. I don't know how it was the same movie when I felt so completely different about it both times. But this movie started filming October 17th, around there, and it wrapped just recently, actually, on about November 13th. And there's been some on-set photos, and I think these on-set photos have been feeding the Captain America Deputy Parrish.
Oh no! Because this is some Howling Commandos, Karen. Like,
yes. Yeah. Exactly. And you see him in like his helmet and his gear, and he kind of looks like Skinny Steve a little bit. I mean, yeah, not quite as skinny, but I mean, I could feel him for Captain America for sure.
Good times. Yeah. This does look good. And it's got Mickey Rourke in it, who's like,
yeah, that's
famous,
what I was
big,
just
big,
gonna say.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just Mickey Rourke. That was basically what I was gonna say. Yeah, okay. He's huge. And I guess I don't know these other two people, Luke Goss and Dolph Lundgren. Sure. Sorry if you're listening to this podcast.
Sorry, Dolph. Sorry. Lundgren, I'm gonna say, but yeah, Luke Goss is the main character from what I can see on IMDb. It's the story of he's the captain and it's his team basically. But okay. I feel like I know his name, so I'm gonna click on him and have a look. Okay, Luke Goss. Oh, I totally know who you are. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, he was like a British stage actor, quite a bit, but, yeah, he's been in a lot of things, a lot of like sequels to action movies, basically, which is like sort of an aesthetic, I suppose, that you can go for, if you know what I mean, like Death Race 2 and
let's talk about Hellboy 2 and Hellboy. Blade 2.
I told you, sequels to action movies.
Like, I love Hellboy so much, and I love Blade 2.
Okay, well, maybe you can check all of this out, but yeah, so he seems to be, he's probably really good at action and stunts and stuff like that, and so he'll probably be pretty hardcore. No, I definitely want to see that movie, and we're going to assume that if Mickey Rourke's in it, that it'll get, like, a wide release, and maybe this will be the thing that, like, puts Ryan Kelly on the map, and that he'll be, like, this gorgeous, like, little, you know, World War II, like, soldier that people fall in love with in the movie, so that will be fun.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to go into some honourable mentions, which is basically our section of people who are not currently on Teen Wolf, but have some really cool projects that we want to talk about. The biggest one, I would say, is Charlie Carver, who is going to be in a movie called Michael. It's already filmed, or his part's already filmed, which is a pretty huge project, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe not blockbuster huge, but, you know, sort of indie cred huge. It's about a gay activist and magazine founder is saved from his homosexuality after turning to God. So it sounds super, super sus in terms of that. It's written by Justin Kelly and it stars James Franco and Zachary Quinto. It's definitely going to be a queer-friendly movie. It's not like a queer-hating movie or anything like that. I'm pretty sure that, you know, either everything will turn out or, you know, it'll be a, you know, depressing night. But it's not like a weird propaganda movie about actually turning to God or anything like that.
When I first read the synopsis for this, I was like, I really don't know how I feel about this. I figured that it wasn't going to be like, you know, down with homosexuality type of thing. But even if it just ends up super sad, I don't know if I want to see it.
It's certainly not an anti-gay movie, but it focuses on a plot of someone who is going through that, basically. But the stars are James Franco and Zachary Quinto. And Charlie Carver, I believe, is starring in it as a guy who they end up hooking up with. They are boyfriends with each other and they end up hooking up with Charlie Carver as well. So if you're into people like Zachary Quinto and Charlie Carver and James Franco hooking up, this might be the movie for you if you can take the like creepy, sad, like turning to God to not be gay part of it as well. It also stars Emma Roberts, who's always pretty good, and there were some pictures on set of them all together. And, oh my God, I've just seen on IMDb, I don't know who this guy is, who's playing, but it stars a guy called Avanjogia. If he is the most beautiful man in the world, you don't understand. He doesn't even have a credit on this in terms of, like, what his character's name is, but I just saw his name on the list, and I know who this guy is, Avanjogia. He's so beautiful. You just won't even believe it, basically. He is so gorgeous, so just be excited for that, I suppose. I'm sure he has, like, apparently he has, like, roles that he's famous for. He was in Victorious, the Disney Channel.
Show, right?
Yeah. So I don't know anything about that, but he's gorgeous. I only know him from Tumblr. He is freaking beautiful. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, that's this movie.
Oh yeah, he was the guy in Twisted, which I never saw, but I wanted to watch because he was so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know what that show is either. Is it like a fairy tale show? Like, what is that show?
No, it's like he's sort of, okay, a teen with a troubled past reconnects with his two female best friends from childhood. He becomes the prime suspect when a fellow student is surprisingly found dead in her home.
I want to watch this. This sounds good. but yeah, no, he's so beautiful. He's just he's beyond belief, this guy's face. So yeah, should be good movie. Daryl Hannah, she's also in it. She's pretty massive of the past generations. But yeah, so this is called Michael. I don't know if that's like the final title or if it'll have like an ongoing title, but so lots and lots and lots and lots of Instagram photos from this while it was filming. I'm a massive fan of Zachary Quinto, so I saw all of his stuff as well. And then Charlie getting this part was a pretty big deal. The next one, Karen, do you want to go on to what you did with your evening that ties into this podcast?
Yes, absolutely. So Haley Webb's, well, I wouldn't really say it's a current project because I'm pretty sure it's only a guest starring role for one episode, but she's going to be on The Librarians. And right before we recorded this podcast, I actually watched the 2-hour premiere of The Librarians. And this show is absolutely ridiculous and super cheesy and really over the top, but I kind of love it. It definitely is meant to be that way, and it sort of pokes it, fun at itself. And it reminds me of, have you ever seen Fringe?
No, I know about Fringe. I haven't seen it, but I don't know about it like in terms of tone or anything like that, if that's what you mean.
Well, Fringe is a little out there too, but I guess for anybody who has seen Fringe, The Librarians is like, if Fringe is the sci-fi version, then The Librarians is the fantasy version. It has to do with like different dimensions and, you know, dragons come in and they have to the first episode had to do with saving the crown of King Arthur, and like Excalibur, I can't even describe it. Excalibur is like, it has a mind of its own, and it's this, the main character's best friend is this sword, and he's like sword fighting with it. He's practicing, and you actually hear the sword panting like a dog. Like,
oh my God,
I can't. It's absolutely ridiculous, but the thing is, the characters in it are so good. They each have a really strong personality, and they each sort of, okay, there's this guy who is an art historian, and I just kind of fell in love with him immediately because I'm an art history major, and he just like knows all this stuff about art history, which makes him infinitely more attractive to me. But yeah, I think that I don't know if it's going to be a big deal. It's a little too weird, I think, to be mainstream, but it could end up having a cult following. It's got a 10-episode first season. No idea about season 2 yet since it just premiered, but I'll definitely be tuning in. Haley doesn't show up until episode 9, so it's almost the end of season 1, which kind of sucks, but I'm really looking forward to seeing her on there, because she's fantastic and we love her. So
yeah,
that's what do you think of The Librarians from my very strange description?
Insane, Karen. It sounds
completely
nuts. I mean, I don't know. I might try and watch it, but it sounds insane. This is not what I was expecting. Like,
I know. Well, I guess I should actually say, like, the actual storyline is that there's this one person called the Librarian, and the Librarian's job is to basically save the world from evil, and they have to go out and get, like, special objects from history, and magic is involved, and like I said, different dimensions, and it's got a very, like, sci-fi fantasy vibe to it, so it's a little bit out there, but like I said, the characters are just really well done, and you kind of fall in love with each of them for their own reasons. And the main female character, she's the brawn, so like she's always beating up on people and stuff, and I love that they gave that role to a woman. And I think that there are a lot of tropes, but then sometimes you think they're going to go into something like that, and they totally turn it on its head. So they're definitely aware of, you know, what kind of show they are, and maybe that'll make it even better.
It sounds insane, but
well, yeah,
we'll give it a go.
Yeah. The other Haley Webb project is Sugar Mountain, and this is a movie about two brothers down on their luck fake a disappearance in the Alaskan wilderness, so they'll have a great survival story to tell, but the hoax turns out to be more real than they planned. And Haley is playing Lauren Huxley, which I assume is either maybe the wife or I would say the wife or maybe the sister of somebody, but Jason Momoa, is that how you say his name?
Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa.
He's going to be in it.
Okay, that's good. I'd watch Jason Momoa and Haley Webb together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could get behind that. That sounds fun. I love him. He's so cute. Anyway, he's just such a good guy. He's such a good guy. You know how we were talking about earlier in our in our Viber group about Clark Gregg like trolling panels and stuff at conventions? Jason Momoa is really like that, like as well. I think like the first time, like he was at a panel before he was like big on Game of Thrones from when he used to be in whatever the show he was in, Stargate or something, I can't remember, something in space. He was like a guest, and then one of his friends was also a guest, presumably off the same show or something, and he like stood in the, like he came into the back of the panel like halfway through and just started like trolling with these like terrible questions to the guy on stage, and it was just, he's lots of fun, and he's very sweet and just great.
Cool.
I love him, and he's lots of
fun. He's gonna be in oh gosh, the superhero movie.
Yeah, he's Aquaman.
Aquaman, yeah. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. Big fan. So yes, if he's going to be in it, it'll probably be a big deal. Weirdly, I just saw a movie called Sugar Mountain about Alaska as well, which was actually a ski documentary that my cousin made, because oh. I think it's like a nickname, like Sugar Mountain, for like unmapped mountain in Alaska,
okay,
if you know what I mean. So I think it's not that weird, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I was already being like, oh, Sugar Mountain, Alaska, hang on, wait, no, Hayley Webb wasn't in my cousin's film, so yeah. Anyway,
that would have been cool, and I would have been disappointed if you hadn't told us that.
Yeah, I definitely would have told you that. No, his was definitely not starring Jason Momoa either. It was a documentary about skiing. So yeah. The next person who has a thing is Matthew Del Negro. He is currently on Scandal, which is a show that I don't watch. But he has a recurring character that might be sticking around for a while. And the main thing that we wanted to talk about is the fact that he plays a male prostitute. Scott McCall's dad is a man of the night. Goodbye. That was a comment from Brooke Wentz there.
Yes.
You guys. So, yeah, if you'd like to see Matthew Del Negro, who is, objectively very handsome man, playing a male prostitute on Scandal, you can do that. Another person who has something is Cinqua Walls. He's doing Power, which has already had one season, and he's in the second season. This is a... It's on Stars, I think. It says here HBO, but I think it's actually on Stars. And it's basically a drama series produced by 50 Cent. I don't know. 50 Cent makes television now, gosh, apparently. But if anyway...
Why? Remember how we were talking about how, oh, it's so cool that they have two different sides and they can be an actor and a singer or whatever. No, 50 Cent like, should just stick to...
Oh my God.
I don't even like him as a rapper, but he's
count for
just
50 Cent.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a very nice person, but anyway, it's a kind of a, you know, it's a hardcore show about, you know, like drug rings and stuff like that. And anyway, I believe that Cinqua Walls plays the son of 50 Cent's character. So I think that he's a main character, the son. 50 Cent pops up every now and then, but yeah, so he plays Sean. And there's a second season of that is going to be made. I don't know if Cinqua will be in that. I assume he will. But that's sort of what's going on for that at the moment, which is fun. If you're interested in him or in kind of, you know, shows about underground drug rings in New York and probably lots of guns and sadness, like there's that show for you. Did you want to finish us off with the last couple?
Yeah, actually, this is pretty convenient because John Posey and Tamlyn Tamita are both on going to be on How to Get Away with Murder, which I don't watch but have heard fantastic things about and probably will end up picking it up at some point. But John Posey apparently plays the father of one of the main five characters, so he'll probably return. And then Tamlyn Tamita, if you guys aren't aware, is Mrs. Yukimura, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I would look forward to seeing both of them on
that
there,
show
actually.
Is doing hugely well. I actually just looked up the ratings of that last night because we saw an ad for it on television, like public television here in Australia, being like, oh, it's coming in 2015, like a network here bought it. And my friend was like, oh, I didn't think it was that big. Like, and I was like, no, it's like really big in America. It's not just Tumblr. It's really big. And it's averaging like 10 million viewers an episode, and it's got like a 10 p.m. slot. So that's pretty high, if you know what I mean. Like, I think it's whatever network it's on, ABC, 10 p.m. slot, 10 million viewers an episode averaging for the first season. It's really doing very, very well, and it's very interesting, and all of that kind of thing. And it's got a lot of people in it, who have been becoming pretty impressive. So yeah, John Posey especially might have a bit of a role. I don't know if Tamlin is going to be an ongoing character or not, but yeah, that's a very good show to be on at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a Shonda Rhimes show,
mm-hmm.
and she's done Grey's Anatomy and Scandal, too, actually. So she's got a pretty big name, so that's awesome. That's part of the reason I think why it's doing so well is because she's killed it with some of her other shows. But yeah, I think it'll be cool to see them on there.
Yeah. So that's about all we've got in terms of the upcoming projects. Of course, you know, if anything major does come up, you know, new, we will obviously comment on it on the news or, you know, on the Tumblr as well in terms of, you know, blogging any news that comes up, or, you know, even on Hyperball, if there's any really huge stuff for the stars. But yeah, we hope that you know, might have found something, you know, of interest to go and look into with that. And yeah, we'll keep you updated, I suppose, for anything else that's coming up. Given that it's the hiatus and we're not like focusing on like running around and fixing up cons and stuff like that, we'll bring back the non sequitur section, and finish off with just a little question between me and Karen, a random question. And mine, this week I'll start off. Mine will be, it's not quite as non sequitur as I'd like it to be, because it's slightly related to what we've just all been talking about, but if you could put a Teen Wolf cast member, any Teen Wolf cast member, onto a current show that you're really enjoying, either as a guest starring role or as a, you know, permanent role, who would it be and why? And what show, obviously?
Oh, this is going to take a little bit of thought. You just sprung this on me. Let's see. I mean, my go-to choice is kind of always Dylan because I think he's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, you know what? No, I reject that. I think I would like to see Hecklin on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my god.
Okay. I think he could do it. I mean, and not only just because I think
like
that
laughing
Grant
at him. I was just like imagining it.
Grant Ward with a beard looks a lot like a sad Derek Hale.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's where it's coming from. But I'd also like to see Hecklin in a sort of like action type of superhero thing. Well, I think he would do really well with that.
Have they I'll cut this out if it like is too weird or spoilery or awkward, but have they shown any – I know, like, Ward, like, killed his family, etc. But, like, have they shown any, like, footage of his brothers as adults at any point?
We met one of his brothers already.
What about the other one?
No, not yet.
Is it the younger one or the older one that they've met?
We've met the older one.
Yeah, he should play the younger one. Even if that brother is dead, it should be like
that.
He should be haunted. Grant Ward should be haunted by like the adult version of his like little brother that he like left in the well, basically, or you know whatever the hell it was. you know. Anyway, no. So yeah, I would pick. What shows do I like? I would pick Daniel Sharman to go on Downton Abbey because it would just be appropriate, I feel like. And I want to see him do something with his, like, British voice and his, you know, natural, you know, beautiful English rose sensibilities. So I'd like to see that. Yeah, Daniel Sharman on Downton Abbey is what I would like to see, just off the top of my head. And we have also discussed, Donya and I would really, really like to put in a request for Crystal Reed to sign on to a Marvel spin-off show that doesn't exist, that we are forcing to exist with the powers of our brains, called Hawkeye or Hawkeye and Hawkeye, which would be starring Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye and Crystal Reed as Kate Bishop, who is also Hawkeye. She is a another Hawkeye, young Avenger, basically, who is sort of Hawkeye's partner in crime. The current Hawkeye comic series is based on their relationship. It's not romantic in any way at all. Like, it's not, like, weird or anything like that. But it's about Kate and Clint, and we want the Kate and Clint television show. A lot of people use Crystal Reed as gifts to play Kate because, obviously, she's got dark hair and she's got a lot of footage of her with a bow and arrow to make fan gifts out of, basically. So we're really into that idea. So if anyone out there's listening and would like to, be the showrunner of our Hawkeye and Hawkeye show, we'd be quite keen on that. So yeah, that's what I'd like. Okay, on that note, we should probably let you guys go. And hopefully you've enjoyed listening to this and yeah, just tell us which projects that you're most excited about, I suppose. So until next time, we shall see you later. Do we have any hints or clues about what our next episode will be about, Karen?
Not a clue, because scheduling is a little difficult sometimes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. Well, until next time, we will love you and leave you, and we'll see you later. So bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll get into it. We'll take turns, you know, telling you about the cast members. I'm going to go first with Tyler Posey, if that's okay. Karen, is that okay?
Yes, I
wasn't waiting for the audience's response.
I was like, who are you asking? Of course it's okay with me.
I don't know. So...